This is Own Up, the Global Shares podcast about employee ownership and equity compensation. Answering questions and sharing with industry experts, here are your hosts, Chris Dorman and John Bagdonas.
Welcome back to Own Up, the Global Shares podcast all about employee ownership and equity compensation. I'm your host, Chris Dorman. And today we're going to hear about capital gains tax and bonus rate changes for share plan participants in 2023. There is great news for save-as-you-earn participants as bonus rates have been re-implemented for the first time since 2014. Our experts today will explain how these changes are going to impact share plan participants and what other measures experts are pushing for to create simpler benefits for employees. So let me hand you over to our Head of Business Development UK and Ireland for Global Shares, Darren Smith, and Senior Consultant and Equity Communications Practice Leader EMEA for Aon, Zoe Denny-Thomas.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to a roundup of recent and upcoming changes that will affect share plan participants. I'm Darren Smith, Head of Sales UK and Ireland here at Global Shares, a JP Morgan company. Today, I'm joined by Zoe Denny-Thomas of Aon, who'll give us a brief update on these changes, and we'll discuss in further detail those points. Zoe, thanks so much for joining me. Do you want to give a quick introduction about yourself and tell us what your role you play at Aon?
Thanks, Darren. Delighted to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm Zoe Denny-Thomas. I'm a senior consultant at Aon, and I help clients to operationalize their plans. So helping with admin, communications, and anything in between. So this has been a really interesting topic in terms of the SAYE changes that are happening. So yeah, excited to be here. My history in share plans was that I actually previously used to work for ProShare, and ProShare is the industry body for employee share ownership in the UK. And we spent a lot of time lobbying for change. So exciting times for ShareSave.
It is indeed. No, thanks, Zoe. That's perfect. First up then, you're going to tell us a little bit about the recent changes to the CGT and the upcoming ones again in 2024.
Wonderful. So what is changing? So upcoming changes by HMRC are going to reduce the CGT allowance from 12,000 to 6,000. In fact, that's already happened. So from April 2023, the CGT rate has changed from 12,000 to 6,000. So if you make a gain of more than £6,000 in the tax year, you'll be liable for CGT. And then there's going to be a further reduction in April 2024, which reduces that capital gains tax allowance down to 3,000. So employees who participate in share schemes are more likely to be liable to CGT over the next coming years. So they might have never been previously liable to pay CGT and may have limited knowledge of how that all works. So it's really important that companies do communicate that these gains potentially are going to be liable to CGT and exactly how employees need to go about it. So I know there's going to be some hesitancy from companies saying, oh, we don't give tax advice and we can't tell people if they're liable to CGT. And that is obviously correct. But there is an obligation, I feel, for companies to keep employees informed and make sure that they're giving them the information they need in order to declare their taxes correctly. Obviously, there's going to be important deadlines that people need to make sure they're submitting returns by. So making sure that participants understand what those deadlines are, where they get the information they need to submit their information on HMRC, and also what to do if they've got questions. So maybe the company can't answer those questions, but maybe the company can inform the participants of where they can get the answers to those questions. So open communication about all of this is really important. And I don't think it's really appropriate for companies to just say, we don't give tax advice, because whilst you're not giving advice, you need to give the information. And because it's a significant change, people who are not aware of this will potentially be liable to pay capital gains tax. And if you don't tell them, they may never know. And you really don't want people coming after you saying, oh, you never told me I had to do that.
You also don't want people not avoiding because of it as well, do you? You know, because, you know, it's always a really good position to be in. If you're making £6,000 or £3,000 profit, you don't want people not to join because they're worried. So your education point's spot on.
Exactly. That's the other thing. People are always a little bit wary of things like capital gains tax. And, you know, you don't want people to be put off. You're right. And absolutely, you want to make sure that people are going into things with their eyes open. And there are obviously opportunities to utilise ISAs to help shelter people from that capital gains tax. So, again, it might not be something you want to be advising people to do, but it is an opportunity to give them information on the things they could do if they wanted to help themselves.
No, thanks for that, Zoria. I think what's really clear is this is going to affect participants who've never filled in a tax return before. But I do understand there's actually a quicker way than filling in a full self-assessment. There is a way around it, is there?
Yes. So there is a kind of short form situation that you can use with a need or what you want to explain that to employees. There is a website that you can visit which has the information on it of exactly how employees can complete a short form. It's much less detailed than having to fill in a full tax return, because a full tax return has about 50 pages and you don't want to be sending employees down that road unless they have to. And obviously those people who do need to fill in a full tax return anyway obviously need to continue doing that, but can include their SAYE gains within that return. So they don't need to do a separate return. But there is definitely a short form return that employees can use so that they can declare this much more simply.
And I think, you know, this links perfectly to the HM Treasury call for evidence. Yeah, we're talking about capital gains tax, and this is clearly affecting participants. Is there anything that we should be thinking of putting a suggestion forward to make it so it's simpler for people in an all-employee plan, and actually, you know, it's going to improve take-up, etc.? So, you know, there's been talk of no CGT whatsoever on a share save or linking to ISAs. Is there anything else you can think of?
So I am definitely putting into my submission that I think for a share save, CGT should not be applied. Obviously, that might be a bit of a challenge and it may not get through, but I personally think that because these plans were intended for ordinary employees to benefit from the shares of their company, actually, the fact that people have to stop paying CGT and they're going to be having to do returns makes it not quite as intended. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. And I think I'm definitely submitting that on my submission. But the other thing I'm also submitting is around having a one-year share save. I think that would really help encourage potentially younger workers or workers who may not be planning so long far ahead in the future. And it would certainly help people feel, I think, would feel tied to the company for a set period. So I actually think it would help with retention, as opposed to having a three-year plan that people don't even join because they think they're not going to be here in 3 years. I also think it would help with not having so many people withdrawing partway through the plan, because it's only a one-year plan, people would just stay till the end of that year.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So a one-year plan, obviously you've got deposit takers, and it wasn't long ago that there was worrying around negative interest rates because, you know, the interest that the deposit takers are doing for all the providers, you know, it was becoming a bit of a challenge to manage those. So my big ask would be, it's along the same lines, but I'd go down, I think 3 years, great. It ties in with shareholders, you know, people saving for those 3 years, being a real part of the company, and also that retention period, because they're going to stay for 3 years and hopefully if they can see the share price rising. But in order to care for people who go, well, actually, I'm leaving in a year, what about getting rid of leavers altogether when it's resignation, so that they actually become a good leaver, and that way they can still exercise, so that someone who has been there 1 year, they can still exercise after a year. But then people like Darren Smith, who started at YBS and thought he might be there a year and he was there 22 years, I still could take advantage of the full 3 years and not actually lose out. Well, what's your take on that one?
I love that idea. I think it's awesome. I would love that. I definitely think that it gives people a bit more flexibility. It's a nice change that I think lots of people would welcome. So yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think it wouldn't have a massive detrimental effect to the accounting treatment either. I'm not an accountant, but I did speak with one of my colleagues about this the other day because I was interested in the accounting impact. So yeah, I think it's a really good idea. And I think that's the beauty of this opportunity, because everybody is submitting loads of really interesting ideas, and a really good opportunity for us to all collaborate with each other about what we think is a good idea and how different ideas might impact different people.
Yeah, definitely. And even from that one example, you know, there's two solutions, but they're kind of giving the same solution, really. I think there's loads of good topics like that, and we'll hopefully talk about a few more as well. So while we're on ShareSave, there's also exciting news that the bonus rates are coming back after so many years. Do you want to give us a bit of an update on bonus rates?
So in terms of bonus rates, so as you said, Darren, this is fantastic news for participants. So this, I'm hoping, may slightly boost the participation rate of the ShareSave. I don't think it's going to have a massive impact, but it may have a little one. So participation in plans from the 18th of August will now benefit from this reintroduced bonus rate. So it's been long awaited. As you said, it hasn't been around since 2014. So it's really important that companies think about revamping their communications to make sure they get this message across. Because it's complex in the background, I think companies don't need to explain all of the background to people. They just need to explain what is the rate they're potentially going to get and how it's going to potentially play out for them. So the bonus is paid tax-free as a multiple of your monthly contribution, which is based on the Bank of England base rate. And again, participants don't need to know all of the detail behind all of that. We'll walk through a worked example in a moment. And whilst this session is around how to talk about change and all of that kind of good stuff, do check with your advisors around your plan rules and all of that good stuff to make sure that you're ready for how this is going to play out. There are, I've heard a couple of companies that are thinking that they're not launching, or that they were going to launch just before the date that it came in, the 18th of August, and actually they've delayed their launch so that they can actually benefit their participants from that, which I think is fantastic. It's really good that companies are thinking ahead and thinking how good this bonus is as an opportunity for their employees. So the bonus could be used to buy more shares if the company decided to operate the plan in that way. Again, please think about how this might impact your headroom, because there may be implications there if you're tight on headroom. So it's really important to consider that upfront. And a small bonus will be paid to participants, even if they withdraw, as long as they've been making at least 12 payments. So if they've been in the plan for a year and they've made at least 12 payments, then a small bonus would be still paid if the participant decides to leave and withdraw from the plan or withdraw from the plan. So I think this could encourage employees to continue to save to the end, because they'll get a much larger bonus at the very end if they've saved for 3 years. So this might well help with the accounting cost, where people are just withdrawing their money potentially to join a different plan or potentially just to use the money for something else. So with that said, let's take a quick walk through an example. If a three-year plan is launched, a participant could save, well, they could save up to the £500 a month, but in this example, they're paying £100 a month over 3 years. Imagining the Bank of England base rate at the time is 5%, they would get 1.1 times their monthly contribution as a bonus at the end. And this is subject to them making all of their 36 contributions. So this would equate to, technically, it would equate to £110. And of course, the company could potentially say, we're going to allow those contributions to be used to purchase more shares. Or they could say, you're going to get that as a cash deposit at the end. And as we said, leavers after 12 months, if they've made 12 contributions, potentially will get a bonus, but it will be obviously a lot less than £110. This is a really simple example. Obviously, you know, it could change with the Bank of England base rate over time. Obviously, if the rate goes up significantly, the bonus rate will also go up. And of course, this is obviously based on a £100 contribution, but people can make much larger contributions than that. So overall, I think this is a fantastic opportunity to revamp your comms to tell people about this change, but also potentially you might want to revamp the comms to say that the CGT rate's changing at the same time. And obviously with ShareSave, quite often people will reuse those comms over and over because the plan doesn't tend to change very much. But this year is obviously an opportunity to make a difference and do something different.
It is indeed. Now, I know I don't look old enough, Zoe, but I was around in 2014 when the bonus was withdrawn. So throughout my time, I've been in SharePlan since 1999, so there was always a bonus paid. on the plans. And in 2014, when that withdrew, we thought it was going to be the end of the world and like no one's going to join ShareSave anymore because who's going to join if there's no interest? But we didn't actually see a decrease in take up. And also around the time of the pandemic, we thought no one's going to be able to join ShareSave, but we saw take up increase. So I'm intrigued to see what actually happens with this bonus rate. Is there going to be more joiners? Actually, do people see the benefit of ShareSave that, you know, there's a chance that if that share price goes up, I make more money, and that's what they're actually doing it for? I'm going to take a gamble. I don't think it will increase take up, but I just think it's a really good thing to do when that interest rate has gone up. It's only fair that it's shared with the participants. But I like your point about headroom. That's a really important thing because what you don't want to do is add this bonus and all of a sudden you're scaling back on your shares here because you've given a bonus, because that could then play differently and not actually be as positive. So that's a really valid point there, indeed. I wonder, is there anything in the call for evidence that we could, is there any suggestions that we can do to improve this bonus rate even further? I know they've only just changed it, but is there anything you can think of where actually it'd be good if we could do X, Y, Z?
So for me, I know that ProShare and a group of colleagues from the industry were liaising with the Treasury and savings carriers and all of that to get this interest, the calculation and how it was all going to work all approved. So I know that there was a lot of thought put into that initially. So I'm probably not the expert to tell anyone how it should be done or if there's any changes that could be better. But I know a lot of work has already gone into the background. And I guess from my side, I would say to companies, don't try and explain everything to people in this regard, because it is quite complex in the background. If you look at the HMRC site and show, that website on how the bonus is calculated, if an employee was seeing that, they would probably be very confused. So I think, keep your message very simple and, sell it as a bonus. It is a nice little bonus that people are potentially going to get.
No, you're right. And I think, like you say, it's just all they need to know is how much is my multiplier? What's my bonus look like? And obviously in today's world, financial promotions, you'll have to show the AER rate as well. So, that'll be something that'll be on all documentation. So that's ShareSave. We've done a bit about the call for evidence there as well, but it's all going the share plan world. And the hot topic definitely is this call for evidence. So Zoe, you've given me your top two ShareSave. Do you want to do the same for SIP? Is there anything you want to do on SIP?
Yes. So I would love to obviously make the SIP a 3-year plan instead of a 5-year plan. And I think that's been on the agenda for many years, even while I was back at ProShare. So it would be great to get that one over the line. I think it would remove quite a lot of complexity. Obviously, people don't necessarily always think 5 years ahead. And I think it would just make the plan much more appealing. So that would be my top ask in regards to the SIP. And secondary to that, I think the SIP contribution level, I would like to increase it a little bit. And this is a bit of a controversial one because actually a lot of people said, well, people are purchasing with their own money. And so maybe there's a little bit more risk. So why would you want to increase it? But for me, I think in the background, I think a lot of companies who maybe don't offer a SIP now may offer a SIP if it was slightly higher in terms of contribution level, because I think the potential gain would be a little bit more. And I think at the level of, £150, it doesn't seem like it's worthwhile given the amount of admin that a company needs to go through to do all those payroll deductions and all of that kind of stuff. So I would like to see it go up a little bit, and I'm not being greedy. So I don't think it should be the same as ShareSave. I don't think it needs to be £500. I think it just needs to be £200 or something around that level, 250 max. Because I just think, you're getting a nice match in most cases. And, it's not here to make those people that can afford to risk money much richer. I think it's just a really good opportunity to buy shares in the company that you work for. And I think just increasing it a little bit over, it hasn't really increased much over the last 20 years or however long it's been in place for. So I think it would be really good to just get it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think I'd like it to match with ShareSave, but maybe taking into account that it's out of your pre-tax, so maybe that you take 40% off, so £300 maybe the max. And then, you know, there's an explanation as to why. And I think that'd be great. Because what we've got to remember is that some companies will only offer one or the other. Some people are lucky, can do both. But if you're only in one, then if you've got £300, that'd be amazing to be able to put forward to a share plan and can really make a difference over the 5 years when they become tax-free as well. I'd go 300. That's what I'm going for there.
Well, we'll see if we get either of those things.
The other one on SIP for me is, you know, we've talked about CGT changing, but also the dividend allowances change, hasn't it? Is it currently at 500? Has it gone down £500 now? I know it's soon to be 500 if it hasn't already. And basically, that is going to affect so many people who have, you know, have got shares in a SIP where it's tax-free in a SIP, but if you leave within 3 years, then that becomes taxable again for anything over 500. So it's almost like, again, what you said earlier around, can we have no CGT on a share SIP? What about no dividend tax on a SIP? That feels like a simple when it's not, you know, going to break the bank in terms of the money that the government are losing. I think it's just going to support people who maybe don't fill in a tax return who are getting £500 worth of dividends.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess
that one.
Yeah, I think, you know, anything that's going to make life simpler or more simple for participants. And, you know, we're not talking huge amounts of money here, you know, so I totally agree with that. I think it would be much better.
And then to finish, the most radical one, I'm going to throw out there, auto-enrolment. So obviously with pensions, we went auto-enrolled and that changed everyone's world. All of a sudden, you know, the majority of people have pensions. Is there something we can do around auto-enrolment into a share save or a SIP where you're not taking out of people's wage already? It's almost like you're adding on an extra 10, 20, 30 pounds to go into a share save or to a SIP. What's your thoughts on that one?
That's an interesting one. I think if you're doing free shares, absolutely, auto enrollment, no problem. You can give people free shares. However, I think if it's something like a share save or a SIP where you're almost giving people money to put into the scheme or they have to put their own money into the scheme, I don't think we should be auto enrolling, because I also think that, you know, there's going to be colleagues out there who just really can't afford it. And they've got things they need to spend their money on that are not the share save.
But what I'm saying is, this is, so you get your 5 million a year that you're on, Zoe, but on top of that, you get £20 put into a share save or £20 put into a SIP. So it's not going to affect your basic in any way. It's almost like another benefit that's added on and it goes into a savings account for share.
I like that, but I also think that some people would much prefer to just get the £20.
Yeah. No, it's all right.
So I'm definitely a share plan advocate here. So, you know, I totally love for people to get shares, but I also, you know, there's going to be people out there that just don't need the hassle of potential CGT and all of that kind of stuff.
The hassle of CGT, it means I'm making lots of money.
Absolutely. And that is the message to people.
That's massively education.
Yeah. And certainly that is something that people need to think about in terms of like making sure that they're giving that message to people. You know, if you make £6,000, you're making £6,000. So whilst you've got a bit of a problem with CGT, you know, you have made over £6,000 in gain, which is quite a nice problem to have.
It is, isn't it? Because if you make £7,000, you've actually got £6,000 tax-free and only £1,000 tax. So everyone would be over the moon with that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. And then the last one is, you know, I've heard on panels before that I've hosted, you know, is there a way of radically changing share save? So I know there's a US plan where it does like a re-lookup. So 3 months before maturity on a share save, actually it's underwater. So that means the share price is less on the open market than the option price agreed at the start. What about reworking the option price to have a discount at that time?
So that's like the US look back in the 423 plan. So yeah, that would be an interesting concept in the UK. I think it is quite expensive to operate plans like that, because obviously you're then going to have to stump up the cost of the repricing, if you like. But yeah, I think it would be a nice opportunity to have. And it would be great for companies who also operate plans in the US, so they can actually really mirror the plan that they have in the UK to the plan that they have in the US. And we do see that quite a lot with a lot of our clients, where they're looking to do something as similar as possible. So that would be a nice addition, I think.
I think it's one of those, and I think you hit the nail on the head that it works for an American company that has a similar plan. So is it almost like if we can get a few suggestions into this call for evidence, and then you give the company the power to go, actually, do you know what? I want resignation to be a good lever after 1 year. If you've been in a share, say, for 1 year, then yes, you can be a good lever for resignation. Or some people might say, from day dot, actually, no. You've worked hard for us for, you know, X number of years. We want you to take back the shares and really benefit from it. So if you choose to go on to Pastures New, you've done a fab job. Thank you very much. Yes, you can exercise your offer. So I think there's loads of good options there for everyone. And I'm really excited to see what comes of it. It'd be great if something radical happened and we got lots of new things. But one thing I've always said is I would sell ShareSave to my nana. It's my favorite plan out there. So any improvements to it can only make it even better and increase that take up even further. So I'd like to say a massive thank you, Zoe, for joining me today. You've been an absolute superstar. It's great to see the figures in action for the bonus rates. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like that in the new world. So thank you very much and all the very best. And if you're going on a summer holiday, go enjoy it.
That was Global Shares Head of Business Development in UK and Ireland, Darren Smith, and Senior Consultant and Equity Communications Practice Leader, EMEA, for Aon, Zoe Denny-Thomas. For contact or more information for Darren or Zoe, just check the show notes in the description area of this podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of Own Up by Global Shares. If you like what we're doing, why not share with friends or leave a review? Until next time, please take care.
The Own Up podcast is brought to you by GlobalShares.com. To get the inside track on employee ownership and equity compensation, click follow on your podcast player right now so you get the next episode automatically. Information provided in this podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It may contain views which differ from the views of JP Morgan Chase & Co. For specific guidance on how this information should be applied to your situation, you should consult a qualified professional. For full details, see the show notes on your podcast player right now. The Own Up podcast is produced by DustPod.io for GlobalShares.com.